On this episode of The Playbook, I have the extraordinary entrepreneur, Ken Austin. He not only founded Avion Tequila, but him and Conor McGregor have a knockout punch with proper number 12 Irish whiskey, and he's going to give everyone an MBA for the day here on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I got a friend of a friend, an incredible founder, CEO, entrepreneur. I'm going to try to say the name of the head company. It's Era. I'm a Jew from New York, right? So that's a tough one, an Irish name. But more importantly, he used to be the co-founder of Avion with a lot of friends of mine, Doug Allen, obviously Kenny Dicker from Wheels Up. But more importantly, proper number 12 is his new venture. And once again, bringing all the star power with a great product. I love the space. I've been blessed to work with so many different distributors, alcohol companies throughout years and years of sports. Including one of my favorite was Sidney Frank. And, you know, can you remind me of Sidney Frank? Because Sidney was a free thinker. He used to tell me, you can't ask big enough, Dave. You're thinking too small. And, you know, we went to France and he, you know, testing vodkas. Vodka was a poor man's drink. And here you go, take proper number 12. You remind me of Sidney Frank and you bring all the star power with it. What, you know, really focused you on Irish whiskey, you know, compared to all the other brands and all the other genres of alcohol you could have focused in on? It seems a little bit peculiar, but why did you choose whiskey?
First of all, thanks for comparing me to Sidney Frank. I mean, it's great to be with you. And Sidney Frank is just, you know, obviously passed away a few years ago, but a true trailblazer, pioneer, and did something that no one ever thought could be done, which was to take a category like vodka and take it to a level of just premiumizing it to a point that consumers never thought that people would pay what he convinced people they wanted to pay for a product like Grey Goose. And incredible job, and sold it for obviously billions of dollars. So we're on the same path. That said, why Irish whiskey? And it's really very interesting. You know, the just like tequila was 10 years ago when I founded Avion Tequila, back then tequila was really not a category. There were a couple of brands that really dominated. At the high end of tequila, it was Patron and Patron only. At the low end of tequila, it was Jose Cuervo, which is what guys like us grew up drinking, because there weren't brands like Patron when we were younger. So you did your shots of tequila and, you know, the next morning you didn't feel very good. But that said, there really wasn't a category. And we saw that was over 10 years ago. And now we look at tequila and it is just booming. And that is basically what a lot of younger people, 21 to, well, people our age are drinking tequila much more than they did back in the day when they said, oh, tequila just made me sick. So when you think about Irish whiskey, it was a very similar thing. Irish whiskey was not a category. It was a category of one with Jameson, which is the 800-pound gorilla in the space. And there was really no clear number two, no clear number three. The gap is just massive. So we looked at that space and said, that's a very interesting space. So you look at that as a business person and say, there's white space there, right? And there's white space even when you don't think there's white space. Then you couple that with me meeting Audie Attar, who's Connor's manager, and then Connor, and you say, this is the perfect storm. A category that's not a category, that needs to be a category, and a unicorn in someone who is, if you think about Irish whiskey and looked it up in the dictionary, you'd probably expect to see Conor McGregor's face. Because he epitomizes at least the stereotypical Irish, the vim and the vigor and the excitement. And I don't want to say irreverence, but I'll tell you the fun. And Irish people always bring, they always bring a lot of fun and a lot of excitement, which is just, it's been pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you have an extraordinary mindset. And I was talking about Sidney Frank, who's one of my mentors. And, you know, when I first met him, someone came into his office and they had like a negative thing to say. And he held up his hand. He goes, no, I don't need to hear that. And I, you know, was young, so I didn't understand. And now I write books about keeping away from the wrong people and the wrong ideas and negative energy. What is your mindset and what advice do you have about mindset, especially with COVID right now? I believe mindset's the most important thing, even beyond just being an entrepreneur.
Oh, I mean, very much so. And the thing is this, is that, I'm a sales guy, you know, so I'm a good marketer and I love people just generally. The negativity, it's very easy to get sucked into it. And there are times that I'm negative too. You know, entrepreneurs, you don't necessarily share it outwardly, but you sit and, you know, and we all suck our thumb in the corner every once in a while and say, oh my God, what if it doesn't work? And that fear in a lot of cases drives you. But the attitude, the amazing thing to me is that I have a rule that I call the rule that I've tried to teach my kids. And I tell every young person that will listen, I have a rule called the rule of 101. And my rule of 101 is that most people operate sort of in that 90% range. Could be 89, but most people operate 95 to 99. Going that extra 2% and actually believing in yourself, believing in what you're doing, negativity, listening to it, but just because it sort of balances you. But the belief in that extra 2% for the 99 percenters, that extra 2% makes you an all-star, where a 99 percenter is basically average or below average. So that attitude of basically saying, I'm going to give a little bit more, I'm going to believe in myself, believe in what I'm doing, drive other people to believe. The power of belief is monstrous. And we've seen that throughout history. And that's why entrepreneurs are who they are and what they are. And people who are not sit and look at them and say, my God, how the heck do they think of that? How did they do that? Well, it's really easy. They believe in the rule of 101 and the other people are at 99. Or you think about Rod Carew, a 300 hitter, was one of the greatest hitters of all time. And he was out 7 out of 10 times he was out, but he was an all-star. So that's the mindset that I think people need to have. And during COVID, a lot of my friends, and it's really some people you know as well, that are really at the top of the ladder in terms of accomplishment, are having a rough time. Letting people go, dealing with issues, dealing with unrest, and having to manage that. And there's a lot of pain out there. And the key is positivity and believing in yourself and the people that are around you and actually encouraging that. But it's tough right now. But, you know, to me, it's that never give up. It's so sounds like so cheesy or so cliche, the never give up thing, like Jake Steinfeld said back in the day, and everyone who says don't give up, drive through the wall, it's true today and it'll be true probably 100 years from today.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Jake and I share our favorite poem, the Don't Quit poem. I have it right down below here. But rule 101, you know, I look at Kenny Dichter, Doug Allen, yourself, it also involves what I call rule number 6. And the people that can institute rule number 1, they live by rule number 6. And rule number 6 is, don't take yourself so goddamn seriously. And at what stage of your journey, you know, because I think it's kind of there's a little bit of hypocrisy. Lee Steinberg, Warren Moon, you know, some of the guys that are my partners, they used to say, Dave, you got to take a deep, don't take yourself so seriously. And I'm like, yeah, it's easy you say. You guys are Hall of Famers and legends, and you've already achieved all the success. And as I got older and was able to, you know, reestablish myself from my bankruptcy in 2008, it gets really easy not to take myself so seriously. How do we instill, you know, that bravado of belief when we're not there yet?
Well, I mean, it's a great question. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we look at athletes in a lot of ways and we say, you know, how did they get there? And sometimes when people talk about employees, they call them athletes. It's sort of like, you know, another one of those cliche words. You know, we have a great bunch of athletes.
Playbook of cliches, Ken and Dave, yeah. We got them all.
They do work. They sell books.
Yeah, exactly.
But that said, you know, the how not to take yourself too seriously is so important. But when you think about athletes generally, how do they achieve what they do? It looks so easy from the outside. But these are certainly gifted people, and they're gifted people in business. But they work their asses off. And those that never really forget their roots and remember the grind and how they got there is really, to me, those are the people I want to roll with. Those are the people that really are the people that are real, that have their foundation is right. They were typically raised in a certain way, which was with humility. And, you know, I find when people start to breathe their own vapors and they think that they are holier than thou, or they think that they are invincible, that's when you lose. So I'm not sure if that completely answers your question, but it is, and it's common, and you know this, you see this all the time, that the people with the humility, I look at myself every day and I'm like, how the hell did I get here? Like, I feel so lucky and I still sell too much. I oversell. And people say, Ken, you don't have to oversell. You know, you have three spirits that have all been become very successful. That doesn't happen. And I look at it and I say, you know what? I'm not taking it for granted. And I go and I sell and I oversell, because that insecurity is really what drives that humility of saying, you know, I can lose it as quickly as I got it, or even faster. You talk about bankruptcy. I haven't been there yet. I'm hoping to go bankrupt at some point. So I actually, you know, I'm kidding in a way, but the people that do, but the people that do lose it and then get it back, appreciate it even more. But I feel, I wake up every morning and I feel like I'm bankrupt. And again, that's the mentality, the psyche that you need, just like an athlete who says, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to make the cut, even when they are at the top of their game.
You know what's so interesting too is you're driven by this great why to, you know, be what you must be, which is a component. You're not going to quit because of it. But you also have something that I love is, you know, a lot of the entrepreneurs or the people standing in front of cars they don't own and houses they don't own on the internet, you know, they talk about finding your why and all, you know, all this stuff that might sell courses. But you're like me, you're a what person. You stated it from the start when you started Proper Number 12. It's what's going on, what should we do, you know, all the concrete, pragmatic things. And then the universe starts providing, oh my gosh, Conor McGregor, talk about a perfect storm. That's no accident. That's called a coincidence. That's what happens when we know what we want and we pay attention and give intention to it, the hard work and the strategy and discipline, all the things that you do. But there is something about the clear vision, knowing your what every day. And I think it's missed today because so many people romanticize entrepreneurship. They romanticize the why and the passion. And we got this new generation of, I got my feelings hurt, you know, which makes it difficult to have employees in overhead when you hurt people's feelings for telling them to do their job because they were late. You hurt their feelings and their mom calls you. I'm not getting it. How do we help people focus on what they want?
Oh, I got to tell you, you know, you're better than me. I should be interviewing you, you know. the amazing thing to me is that I tell people that I'm a millennial. I just am a 55-year-old millennial. The millennials actually have it right because they want to be happy, right? So I get that. And I, my dad, may he rest in peace, used to say to me all the time, it's a job, right? Go do your job. If you're not happy, go do it. And you know what? The millennials have it right. And we talk about them and we say, oh, you know, they don't care. And they, all they want to do is they want to take days off and they want to this and they want to that. But being happy is really, really important. And I've learned that at the ripe age of 55 now, that happiness is a place that if you can control that, it's better to basically go to work and be happy. So I, you know, I say that, and now on the other side of the millennial equation, if we had the millennial attitude, right, of happiness, and basically not just coming and suffering every day and sulking every day. And then we just put in the work, which I'm not saying millennials don't. So please don't, you know, go on to my whatever. I'm not on Twitter. I can't look at Twitter anymore. But, you know, the if they just really put in that work, go to that 101 rule, they would be happier. And everybody else, the old guys like me, would be happier too, because they wouldn't feel like they have to have kid gloves on all the time when they're talking to them. And so I think there is a balance here that they have it probably, I'm going to give them 51% right and we're 49% wrong, but that 49% they've got to work on. And we have to, I think we, I know I have really started to understand that 51% and what they're looking for, because they've shown me the light to a degree of balancing a bit more. But we'll get to that happy medium eventually. It all comes out in the wash.
Yeah, I think we need that globally as well to appreciate what we have the same first, where we have that commonality, and then let's appreciate the differences, and that will create a stronger bond and I think more energy to it. You know, I've been blessed when I ran Lee Steinberg, especially, to work with the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entertainers. Been around guys like Conor McGregor, but he is a unique celebrity. And athlete, by the way, but he is unique in the fact that he's so authentic, right? There's some guys that just can't help but be themselves. And it resonates with a huge spectrum nowadays because, you know, when you and I were younger and started marketing and overselling, back-end selling, manipulating, lying, and cheating people, it was only a few hundred, you know, a few thousand. Now you do it, there's like 4.4 billion people. You better be authentic and you got to know who you are and be honest about who you are. Conor McGregor, you know, proper number 12, they're so aligned. But I assume, you know, one of the lessons I'd like the entrepreneurs to hear is, why do you think he is so authentic? What is it about him? Maybe you could share a story or something about him that just, you've been around the same guys I have. This is a special person.
When you reach that level of success, whether it be for him in the octagon or in the boxing ring or in business, this is special. You know, these are special people. We all call them unicorns, right? And we're dealing right now. We have another brand called Terramana Tequila with Dwayne, with the Rock. And again, a super, super human, very different. Him and Conor are very different, but they do come from the same world. Athletes, people that have driven from nothing. DJ Dwayne, was at 15, was evicted out of his home in Hawaii. Conor was living in his car, you know, and on welfare. So they're very similar stories. Again, that entrepreneurial story. But what I would tell you about Conor, I WhatsApp with him. I was WhatsApping with him all morning today because he's going through, you know, he wants to fight. And I won't discuss what's in the news right now, back and forth with him and Dana and Justin P. But the bottom line is that he doesn't have filters. And that's what actually makes him special, and his fan base loves him for his authenticity, which is why, by the way, with Proper 12, when I agreed, I just want to say tell you one story for your viewers and listeners that I think is really important. Conor announced when he fought Floyd Mayweather, and he made close to $100 million in that fight, and something him and Audie created that was out of thin air. He came on the press conference afterwards, the post-game fight press conference, and he said he's going into the Irish whiskey business. The reason why, that's how I found out. So the next day, I was in L.A. the next morning on my way to L.A. I had come back from L.A. the night before with my wife, and I went back to L.A. the next morning to meet with Audie Attar, his manager, because I saw Conor at the press conference say, I'm coming out with an Irish whiskey. I wanted to know who he was doing it with. And the answer was, they didn't have a partner. And they were working for years on it, and just it's tough to navigate the spirits business. It's a very different business.
Yeah.
So as you know. So the bottom line is I got on the plane and I went there, and I said to Audie when we had a meeting in his office and then at dinner, I said to him, you can't do this without me. And I try to say it in a nice way, but of course, as a New Yorker, it doesn't come out the right way sometimes. The inflection in our voices are more of demand versus please. And Audie looked at me, he goes, we just made like $100 million yesterday. You're telling me we can't do anything without you? He goes, no, everybody told us we couldn't do what we did in the fight against Floyd. Long story short, I met with Conor, and what I saw in his eyes. So the first point there is that how many other people called Audie the next day when Conor was on a press conference that the world saw? And the answer is no one called. And I said to them, you put the bait in the water, and nobody bit. I was the only stupid fish that bit. That tells you a lot. Tells you a lot about people, the fear, the corporate culture. No one sat there, and I guarantee you, CEOs of companies saw it, brand managers saw it, every Tom, Dick, and Harry saw it. And I was the only one who called and got on a plane the next morning and flew across the country and back the same day. I was home the next morning, 24 hours there and back, and no one else did it. And it blew my mind. How didn't anybody else call? Now, that's not the reason why I got the deal. But then meeting with Conor and seeing the authenticity, looking in his eyes and saying, this is a guy who's going to work. Very important. How many celebrities are there that try to go outside of their comfort zone, of whether in the case of Conor, a fighter or an actor or a musician, that try to do something other than their craft that they were gifted with? Many of them try and many of them fail. Here was a guy that I looked in the eye and I knew that he was going to work. And I saw, after spending time with him, I knew that he was different, right? I knew he was a unicorn in his own way, but I knew that he was going to lean in. And that's, again, the rule of 101. Because many celebrities get into the game and they go to 99, and people around them say 99's enough, and all the sycophants around tell them how great they are, where guys like Conor say, nobody needs to tell me. He already knows how great he is, right? If you tell him, he'll tell you he knows. Now it's time to get to work. And if he doesn't put the work in, we will not succeed. And if I don't put the work in with my team, we're not going to succeed. I call it the Reese's peanut butter cup. You know, the chocolate mixed with the peanut butter, and it's beautiful. Chocolate by itself and peanut butter by itself are not as good. So it's the combination of the right people with a similar attitude, which is positivity, win, not at any cost, win, do it the right way. And when you think you're winning, put your head down and say, I may lose, and keep winning. And that's the way Conor is. And that's why he's training As we speak, he's training. Doesn't know who he's going to fight. He wants to fight, and he's working his ass off to stay in shape, waiting for that call, which I hope happens. And the money, but it's crazy just because he wants to fight, which that's typically not the way Conor acts. But again, that's the unicorn. That's the winner. So I've said enough on that.
That's amazing. I'm about to subtitle this playbook, you know, NBA for a day, because if you don't go back and listen to this a few times, there's people paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for an education they're not going to get about rule 101 or rule number 6 for that matter, and a bunch of other great pieces of advice about the strength of a frequency of brand and how to market it today, and how our older, more traditional methodologies that we utilize in marketing are still applicable today, but we have to be open to find the middle and to get that new type of amplification that we are talking about with 4.4 billion people available, especially for someone like Conor McGregor. Anyway, Ken Austin, I want to thank you so much for your playbook to success. I want everyone to go out, not only support Conor and Ken, but I'm telling you, proper number 12, I had it with some coffee. It was excellent. So thank you for the gift. I appreciate it. This is Dave Meltzer with Ken Austin, Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.